It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA 1.
Hi, this is Larry London, and I welcome you to Border Crossings for today. We've got a guest coming in our studios. You're going to love this guy. He is all the way from Belfast, Ireland, a former member of the group Celtic Thunder. We would like to welcome to Border Crossings today Keith Harkin, who's here to promote his brand new album on Mercy Street. Let's check out a cut from the new album. Here's Keith Harkin on Border Crossings.
So I'm out here on the speed down dog track once more. Out here soul searching, knocking down doors. Well, Mission Street, it sure beats a door and it fills the bullet holes. I'm not out here glory hunting. I'm not using mind control. When I need you more than ever, I'm crying for your help. Help me, please. Lifeless truck stops out of gas and manufactured food. Every song that I pen, well, they tell me it's no good. They keep their wealth, they feed their own. I'll be your Robin Hood. Look, I'll keep your fire burning just cause I told you that I would. When I need you more than ever, I'm crying for your help. So let's be honest, hearts and sleeves, I can only be myself. I need you more than ever, please help this broken heart. My time is up, I'm clocking out and I've said my last goodbye. When I need you more than ever, these are the cards I've dealt. Mercy, please. Oh, mercy, please. Poison that you pour in my path, I'll climb any hurdle. Yeah, you will feel my wrath. Look, I'm not buying in for lies. Look, I'm not selling out for greed. Open up your eyes here and help me plant the seed. When I need you more than ever, I'm crying for your help. So let's be honest, hearts and sleeves, I can only be myself. I need you more than ever, please help a brother out. My time is up, I'm clocking out, but I've said my last goodbye. When I need you more than ever, the charts out there. Mercy, please. Oh, mercy, please.
Hi, I'm Larry London. We welcome you to Border Crossings in our studios today and on tour for a brand new album. All the way from Ireland to Washington, D.C., Keith Harkin. Welcome to the Voice of America.
Thank you.
It's great to have you back again. I see you got the green socks on.
I've got the green socks on because it's the only clean pair I've left.
Well, congratulations on your new album. And I read where you said this is about your 20th album in 10 years.
Between Celtic Thunder and my own albums, yeah, I've done... It's insane the amount of studio work I've done. more than I probably ever would want they do, to be perfectly honest with you. But yeah, in the last year I recorded and released three. Recorded three last year. One of them's getting, it's ready to go for this year as well.
And so tell me about the new album. I mean, what's going on with the songs? Is there a story being told on Mercy Street? What's happening?
Well, Mercy Street was basically, you know, I was signed to a major label and I decided to leave them just because I think the whole music industry today is kind of all crazy. Nobody knows what they do with it. Nobody knows how to release music. Nobody knows how to sell music. So I just kind of try to do it on my own, just to see if I could do it on my own. And that's kind of what Mercy, the title track of the album, is all about. You know, it's mercy to musicians. But there's kind of irony on it too, because I don't really want any mercy from anyone. But yeah, I proved it to myself. I released the album. I put it through a label in LA, who's now currently my label, called Blue Elan, and it went to number one in the States, so I was over the moon with that. You know, I wrote all the music on it. I pulled all my own musicians in. I funded the entire album. We recorded it in London over at Sphere Studios with a guy called Andy Wright. Andy's produced everybody from Pavarotti to Chrissy Hines to... You know, so actually it was Chrissy Hines' touring band that played on Mercy Street, the record. And then after that, I recorded an entire live production in an old church in Venice Beach last March, April. It was a three-day shoot. We had a crew of like 40 people shooting it. Even though it's just me, acoustic, and one other guy, there was a lot more behind the camera than on the camera. That's called In the Round. There's a live album off that. That's getting released this year. And then I recorded a Christmas album a week before I got married in July last year.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I got married last year to my beautiful wife, Kelsey.
Wow.
Recording a Christmas album with a 60-piece orchestra the week before you get married is not a good idea.
Right, right.
It's a bad idea. Let me tell you that now. It's a bad idea. No one should do that. But yeah, we released a Christmas album that was called Nullig just before Christmas. That was number one in world music and Billboard as well. So I'm really excited this year to get this live DVD out. It's super rock and roll. It's like a rockumentary style. There's lots of interviews and backstage footage. And the album's coming off that as well. So I'm really excited about this year.
So basically you don't sleep?
No.
That's kind of what you've just
Not really, no. I mean, I've got a day off on April 3rd. I'll sleep on April 3rd.
That's circle on
that's
the calendar.
That's scheduled in the sleep, yeah.
Well, you're touring and you've been on the road for a bit now, and I guess it's everything's going great. The fans are coming out and cheering you on, and you're making your drives around the United States.
Yeah, this tour is just solo acoustic, so it's just me. I've been playing lots with like looping and like voice harmonizers and stuff, all these different pedals I've been using on my own and trying to make the show a bit more interesting, you know. But yeah, this tour's been going great. We done a sold out house concert last night in Pennsylvania. I have to think where I even was last night. Tonight's sold out here in DC. And tomorrow we're in Charlotte, and there's like another 10 shows left on this tour. And I'm super excited, to get it all done. And then we have a tour in Canada, August, September. And then I'm going to be going back out in December, November with another. Last Christmas, I done a house concert tour. So the entire tour was people's houses all across America. We'd done 25 shows, and it was such a completely sold out. Fans loved it so much. So we're going to do it again this year, you know. So, yeah, this year's booked already.
Now, I'm amazed that you can keep it all straight. And you're running the business, too. So it's beyond being just a songwriter and a singer now. You're also, you've got your own label, so you're running the whole show.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough going, you know, but I thoroughly enjoy it. This is my life. This is the path that I've chosen, and you know, since the last time I was on here 5 years ago, I've learned quite a bit. You know, I've got my eyes opened and I realized a lot. I know a lot more about the industry. But the thing is, I've always stayed true to my music. And that's the main thing to me, you know, and I think that will always shine through. Nowadays, sadly, I hate to say it, but not always good music's recognized nowadays. You know, a lot of people who get selected for music nowadays is because they've got a million Twitter followers and it's got nothing really to do with what they sound like or what they release.
What's the biggest change? You said you learned a lot in the 5 years since you've been here. So what do you think is the biggest lesson you've learned since the last time I saw you?
You can't stop. You know, you really can't stop. I was with a major label when I done my last record, which done phenomenally well. You know, we recorded it in Abbey Road Studios with the Beatles Orchestra, and we released it. It was number one in Canada, number one in America. But I think you have to take control. It's very corny to say this. You have to take control of your own destiny, you know. I had a major label. They were all fantastic people. But when you let other people take control, you know, another month passes and that email that you sent is a month late. And then by the time their people get back, and before you know it, it's 2 years.
Right.
You know, and I'll never let that happen again.
All right. So let's see if we can get you to perform something for us. What's this called?
I'm going to play a new song that I wrote just for this tour. It's called Two Bloodied Hands.
Two Bloodied Hands. Here we go. Yeah.
Now Finnegan was a fisherman from Skibbereen, and he was saddened at the thoughts of his sweet darling, who was stood up at the altar. It's a mortal sin, but he still rose. He still rose with two bloodied hands. Well, the clouds are black and wet now down in Derryland, and she's a-standing there awaiting her gold wedding band. You see her husband's out there fighting for the motherland, but she still rose, he still rose with two bloodied hands. And he knows he's going down with the thoughts of his sweet darling on her own, no one else around. But he has to stay and fight, even though he will lose his life to bloodied hands. Well, the next part of the story's not for everyone. You see, he caught two red coats in the face, he's on the run. And if they catch him now, they'll string him up, they'll have him hung. But he still rose, he still rose with two bloodied hands. But he knows he's going down with the thoughts of his sweet darling alone, no one else around. But he has to stay and fight, even though he will lose his life. Two bloodied hands, two bloodied hands. She can barely see the gallows and the tears she cries. With Finnegan's unborn child that she holds inside. See, they've sentenced him to death. He just smiles with pride. He still rose with two bloodied hands. He knows he's gonna die with the thoughts of his sweet darling in her own, no one else around. But he has to stay and fight, even though he will lose his life with two bloodied hands. Two bloodied
hands. Harkin, yeah! Two Bloodied Hands. Is that on the new album, on Mercy Street?
Just wrote it for this tour.
Just for the tour?
Yeah.
Wow, and you do that, I'm sure, during the shows and all that?
Yeah, so. I get people, they clap, and I bring the whole crowd, and it's slightly more complicated than that.
And it's very Irish. I mean, Finnegan?
It is.
How many songs mention Finnegan other than in Ireland?
I know. Well, you know, I think a lot of people, when you want to be a writer or a songwriter, you know, you don't want to just keep writing about the same stuff all the time, the same way if you're a book writer or a novelist or whatever you want to think of, or an artist or a painter. You don't want to do the same thing all the time. So I try to write as much different stuff as I can.
Mm. And of course, your influence is from Belfast.
Of course, you can't avoid Ireland.
Now, tell me about the difference between working with David Foster and working with the producer that produced the new album. I mean, there's obviously a different style every time you work with a different producer.
Yeah. Well, working with David was fantastic. David's a great guy, and I learned a lot from David, you know, and working on his side of production. But working with Andy Wright was a producer. I moved to London when I was 18 years old, and Andy took me under his wing as like a singer-songwriter project of his. And he really did take me under his wing. And when I was in the studios at Metropolis Studios in London, where I was working, put work in inverted commas. I wasn't really working. I was just getting in everyone's way, you know. But Andy really got me back then. Andy's seen me as the artist from when I was 17. Mm-hmm. And Andy's watched me grow up. So Andy's known exactly what I'm about. And with On Mercy Street, as much as I wanted Andy to be the producer on it, and Andy knew I just wanted to get my thing, whatever my thing was, on the paper. That's what I wanted to do. And I don't even know what that was, but I knew I wanted to select someone who knew me mm-hmm. as well as knowing my music. And mm-hmm. not only that, Andy's a darling of a man, and I love him to bits, so that's why we chose Andy for that. Mm-hmm.
If you had to label your style of music, if you had to pick a lane, where would you say that you best fit in?
I think for me right now, I would say, you know, I grew up listening to folk and rock and roll, mm-hmm. But the Irish influence is something that I can't avoid, the yodels that you hear in my voice, you know. But I grew up listening to country, folk and rock and roll was my three main things. Mm-hmm. So I kind of have this like Irish slant on a country folky, and then at times it turns into rock as well mm-hmm. with the full, I tour with a full five-piece band as well, you know. But that's kind of along the lines of it.
Mm-hmm. And Van Morrison, big influence in your life.
Van Morrison's a huge influence in my life, you know what I mean? Some people say they really love all the older artists, but I genuinely, like, I still find it hard to not listen. Like, today I was sitting listening to Van Morrison and The Band and Neil Young and Harry Nilsson and Glenn Campbell and Hank Williams and, you know, mm-hmm. Randy Travis. That's the kind of stuff I sit and listen to every day, and then all the old Irish stuff as well.
Mm-hmm. So you're old school then?
I am. I kind of wished I wasn't. It's a hindrance, to be honest, you know, because right now we're looking for producers. These songs that I'm currently writing, I'm looking at new producers mm-hmm. and people that I'm working with, a manager of mine and a few other friends are like, check these guys out. I'm like, I've never heard of them. They have 40 million plays. I'm like, I still haven't heard of them, right. You know. So I'm actually finding it difficult right now. I'm doing my homework on newer music and I'm trying to be more current.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to work with any new people on the next album when you start recording it?
Well, I'm currently writing with a guy called Jack Tamption. Jack mm-hmm. Tamption is the Eagles songwriter. Mm-hmm. Jack wrote Peaceful Easy Feeling and Already Gone, and Jack and I are good friends, and we've wrote lots of music the past 2 years. I actually have a song on Jack's current record called mm-hmm. A Song For You.
Mm-hmm. He was on the show.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was on the show.
I know Jack well. Jack and I are now label buddies as well. It's a long story how I met him. I met him in a store, a thrift store in Encinitas, and then 7 months later, we were signed to the same label, and we've wow. released songs together and write songs together. But yeah, writing-wise, I write a lot with Jack. I'm sure there's going to be a good quarter of the album that's Jack and I songs, you know. As for producers, I'm still looking. I'm still trying to work out the right person. Mm-hmm. I want to do this one right.
Mm-hmm. Is there a sound that you're aiming for? Something that you haven't done yet that you're wanting to try experimenting or something?
I don't know if it's something that I haven't done. Maybe it's just something that's been a common thread throughout anything that I've done. There's always been like that country folky sound mm-hmm. with my Irish accent on top of it, you know. So I'm guessing that that's probably going to be the way that this might go. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing, mm-hmm. you know. But I think a lot of like the country music that I like listening to right now, the likes of Jason Isbell and Chris Stapleton, you know, I really like those guys because they're like, to me, that's what country music was founded on. Not a lot of the more super poppy country that's out there. You know, I'm talking about like real country music, you know.
So is your wife from America or is she?
She is, yeah, she's from Phoenix.
Does she ever have trouble understanding you?
No, she doesn't.
Lucky for her.
Yeah, lucky. It's funny, she never seems to understand. Maybe she just pretends that she can understand everything I say.
There you go, that's the trick.
Because I do the same thing too sometimes, as I'm sure you do as
yes,
well.
Yes, dear. Yes, dear.
Yes, darling. That's correct. Yes, darling.
So Keith Harkin is our guest in the studios on Mercy Street is... Well, I guess we could say about album 20, so, you know, if we had to rough it, you know, I mean, yeah. Of course, Celtic Thunder, you released a number of albums as well. And so, you know, are there artists that you want to work with that you haven't worked with, if you had a wish list?
Yeah. All the old guys that I just mentioned, mm-hmm. I would love to work with any of them just because I said I did, you know, because mm-hmm. I really am old school when it comes to that kind of stuff. But somebody like, I mean, just for vocals and songwriting, I think Chris Stapleton, the newest country sort of act mm-hmm. is cleaning up. I genuinely think that that guy is amazing. You know, it reminds me a lot of the old guys, and I'm sure that's where his influence has come from as well. And mm-hmm. he's the first person that I've heard in a long time that's shone through that isn't trying to copy everybody else that's out there right now. And he's done his own thing. He's got his own voice. He doesn't look like your typical pop star. He's a big guy with a big mm-hmm. beard and a cowboy hat. And, you know, he just seems like the real deal, mm-hmm. you know. So, I mean, anybody who's the real deal, that's who I want to work with.
Mm. It'd be interesting, I'm sure, when the fans come to see you perform somewhere and they've never heard you before, never heard you speak, and here's this guy, and then all of a sudden out comes the words.
I know.
Very Irish.
I know.
But we love Ireland. A lot of great musicians. Niall Horan is, you know, one of the...
There's so many
from
musicians.
One Direction. There's a tremendous number of musicians who have been dominating and influenced music over the years. And so I'm sure they played a role in you choosing music, although you could have been a surfer, I guess. Surfing is something you like to do.
Yeah, but I wasn't as good at surfing as I was singing. I don't think I'd have made much money out of not that I do out of singing, but I don't think I'd have made a whole lot out of surfing. Yeah, mm-hmm. But surfing's going to be something I always do.
And how about, you know, speaking of two bloodied hands... I guess you like to tinker with cars and trucks. You like to work on older cars and things.
Yeah, I'm a petrol head. I've got, I don't even know, I've probably got like 8 or 9 cars and motorbikes. And I have to stop myself. My wife calls me the Craigslist cowboy. Because I'm like, even if somebody mentions something to me about something they might want, like a car, a bike, I'm like, oh, yeah. And it gives me an excuse to kind of look for them. I'm like, I'll find you something, you know, and then I'm like.
Find a way to spend money.
Yeah, but I buy a lot of the old cars that I buy them cheap and I fix them up. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't really buy
and you
them.
Sell them for more, so there you
that's
go.
That's kind of my plan. That's not a that good it idea. Doesn't always work out that way.
Well, Keith Harkin, can you do another song for us?
I can, yes. I'm going to do you a song off my very first record on Mercy Street that I done, well, my second solo record. Mm-hmm. But I also done this song with Celtic Thunder as well.
Great.
And this is a song I wrote a long time ago called Lauren and I.
So see the leaves fall to the ground. And see them lying all around. Still I can't see you. And there's a wind that plays in the air, flying around how it does not care. Still I can't see you. And the seasons pass away. Now you still sit too lonely each and every day, wondering what's gone wrong. I don't remember seasons lasting all so long, oh so long. And I still can't see you. And I still can't see you. And I still can't see you. Oh, I can't. Lauren and I. Lauren and I. Lauren and I. The stars way in my sky, leading my way, and I don't know where or why. Still I can't see you. And when my back's against the wall, I see a reason for this all. Still I can't see you. And I still can't see you. And I still can't see you. And I still can't see you.
Beautiful, Keith Harkin. So I would assume the wife is Lauren.
She's not.
She's not. Oh, and so she plays the CD.
I wrote that song when I was 17 years
old. Oh, all right. Okay.
Yeah, so I can get away with that.
You got to get
one.
Another one, Keith. You got to get another
trust
one.
Trust me, I've wrote a lot of songs about my darling wife.
That must be, you know, I mean, so she listens to your music, I assume. She probably is somebody you used as a sounding board to say, what do you think of this song? What
of
do you
course.
Think of this song? And she's inspired some other songs.
Lots of music, yeah.
That's great.
Of course.
For the future. Well, that's good to know.
I mean, you have to have each other's backs. I do my own thing, and my wife also has her own company that we run. It's an online store that we come up with a lot of the ideas, and she looks after that. And I drive her crazy, and she drives me crazy, and that's how we get along so well.
And you said in what I read that the new album is a mixture of some love, and there's also heartbreak in the album. So these are... Personal stories, true stories?
Personal stories, yeah. A lot of my stories, even if it's something about heartbreak, you know, it might be about someone that I know that's told me their story, and I'll write about them, you know, in that sense. I just currently wrote a song called Martha, and it's about a guy that I met in a bar in Santa Monica a year ago, and he told me that this girl that he met was the girl of his dreams, and he dated her for years, and he'd just seen her a week prior because they broke up, and his whole life came down around him, and I wrote a song all about this guy and his ex-girlfriend, Martha, you know, and... If anything touches me, I like to write about it. You know,
that's great. I mean, it's obviously listening to you have a lot of stories that you like to tell. You know, you met Jack, and you know, kind of in a fluke situation, and now you're working with him a few months later. So, tell me about meeting fans. You seem like you're very approachable and accessible when you do a show. What's the most interesting story that you've got about fans? Meeting a fan, strangest place you've met a fan.
The strangest place I've met a fan. Actually, on my after our wedding in July. We were all in this tiny... there were so many American people came to our wedding, so I decided to give them a week-long wedding as opposed to a day wedding. Yeah, because they travel so far. So we took them on a road trip down the west coast of Ireland. And we were in this tiny bar, and there was like 20 of us there, and we were in the tiniest of bars, and this woman was there, and she was just like, oh my God, it's Keith Arkin. And it was just so surreal, because then all my American friends, of course, everybody was just shouting and giving me dogs abuse, as you can imagine. But I just never expect, you know, I've met people in the most random of places that I never would imagine, you know, because I'm still a regular Joe back in Ireland, you know, locally people know what I do, but in Ireland, like, no one would know what I do, like, compared to America. So I always get a kick out of it when I'm home and someone sees me at home.
Mm. Does the songwriting part of this all come easy for you, or is... Because, I mean, you know, you're just so good at everything. I mean, the songwriting. To be a good songwriter, it takes a lot of time, patience, and you have to be able to express yourself.
Yeah, it's not easy, definitely. It's not easy. I mean, the last, apart from this month, 2 months prior, I've been writing a lot. But the way it is for me is, like, I have to have everything cleared out of the way work-wise. And if I know, like, I've dedicated this year to do nothing but touring and writing. So anytime I have off from touring this year, I'm just going to write. And so far, I've stuck to my guns. I churned out the guts of 30 songs since Christmas, you know, and that's excluding the time that I've been doing this tour. So I'm in a good place right now, you know, and I'm looking forward to the end of the year to see if even one of them's worth putting on an album, you know, because it doesn't matter how many you write. You have to write some good ones, you know. But the good thing is, when you're writing, at least you're writing. There's nothing worse than staring at a piece of paper and getting nothing out for weeks. That's when you really start finding
a hole. What do you do when that happens? Writer's block. I mean, it hits everybody.
I just stop. I don't force
take a break?
There's no point. Well, that's my advice. I just stop. Because if you keep digging that hole, it's a harder hole to get out of, you know?
Well, you did 58 shows in 65 days.
Yeah.
And that's just, I don't see where you'd have time to do anything to write. You know, I mean, that's just that's kind of a big drag on you to be going from city to city performing after one show after another. I can't imagine it.
Yeah.
To be able to come up with songs. What's the strangest or most interesting place you've got to influence for a song?
Planes. I find I'm good on planes when I write. I think it's because there's no distractions, especially if it's a long haul with no like television or something like that. And I have people sitting next to me and they're staring at me because I'm like whispering under my phone. I'm like, singing ideas. You know, and they're kind of going, Mommy, there's a guy singing in
talking
his
to himself, yeah.
Yeah, planes, I find I come up with good stuff because, you know, in planes, you're sort of sleeping and you're in that dream zone and that twilight kind of area.
Right.
And when you're doing that, that seems to be when a lot of cool things happen in my head, anyway.
I hear that a lot from songwriters who say it came to me in a dream or a thought at night, and I woke up and I had to put it down real quick on paper or in the phone or something. So that's interesting to hear that's where most singers get their inspiration is in their dreams.
Yeah.
But so, what would your dream be? I mean, you know, you want to obviously you want to release more music and continue to tour and win some Grammys and some other things as well. But ultimately, you want to keep doing this? You want to have kids and or you want to run a company because you've started your own business now? Yeah. So what's ultimately the goal for Keith Harkin?
Ultimately, the goal is, yeah, of course I want to have kids and of course I want to have a family. But in order to keep doing what I'm doing, I need to put the groundwork in now. And hopefully, 5 years from now, I won't have to do 58 shows in 65 days, you know. Even this year already, compared to 2 years ago, I now have a good record company backing me. I now have a manager. I now have a booking agent. And I'm not afraid to say it. It's a credit to myself. I've worked very hard to get those people. And I've taken a lot of time and a lot of thought process to select the right people to work with. I've had plenty of offers in the past of people wanting to manage and book. But I preferred to do it myself because no one was invested in my project as much as me.
Right.
But now I've found the right people to work with, and I'm very happy where I'm at. And if it keeps going the way it's going, Andy, my friend, the producer I was talking about earlier, told me a thing when I was 18. And he said, Keith, success is like, if you look at like a graph and it's going up, it's like sometimes it kind of goes slow and some days it goes really fast. But as long as it's going up, you're getting closer to where you want to go, and mine's is always going up. So I'm happy doing what I'm doing.
Well, that's fantastic. I mean, it's great to be able to do what you love doing, and do it as well as you can. You know, obviously doing it. Would you do another song for us?
I will. I'll play you a song that Jack and I wrote.
Okay.
And this song's about a sailor, and he is not a nice person. So I decided to write a song about him just because he is such a stubborn mule. We've never met someone who is this stubborn. And he is called the Ring-Tailed Rat. Long story. I get this guitar in tune. All right. Well, I'm a ringtail rat in the captain's hat. I'm a hell of a son of a gun. And I've been everywhere from here to there, every place that's under the sun. And we never ever tire of the things that we desire. We need a hell of a lot. But you're there because you just don't care. You can't be wild, you're not. And when it blows, you gotta ride the wind. Look, I'll steal your wife and I'll take your life and I'll drink everything in sight. I didn't go to school, I don't have no rules, I ain't thinking past tonight. It's who I am and it's who I'll be, it's who I'll always be. Hey now mate, it ain't too late, come ride the wind with me. And when she blows, you gotta ride the wind. When it blows, you gotta ride the wind. All right. What I don't know where I'm going, I don't know where I've been. I don't know where I'm going. Don't know where I've been. I don't know where I'm going. Don't know where I've been. I don't know where I'm going. Don't know where I've been. And when it blows, you gotta ride the wind. When it blows, yeah, you gotta ride. I'm a salty dog and I smell like a hog, and that's all right with me. For the rest of my life, I don't need no wife. I'm married to the sea, and when she blows, you gotta ride the wind. When it blows, yeah, you gotta ride the wind. Yes, and when it blows. Well, you gotta ride the wind. Yeah.
Sounding great, Keith Harkin.
Thank you.
All right. On Mercy Street is the name of the album. Why did you end the album with Auld Lang Syne, that old classic song?
I love that song. And I think it's, you know, it's like one of those rare flowers that bloom once a year, and botanists take a photograph of it and then it dies. And I just think the lyrics are so beautiful and it's hundreds of years old. So I decided to slow it down and mm-hmm. just do it. And we put strings on it, and we had everybody in the studio sang it, and it was very, it's a nostalgic song, and I love the song, so that's why we done it.
And other than that, all the others are original that you wrote yourself?
Yeah, yeah. They're all originals, yeah, all right. Yeah.
On Mercy Street. So if people want to get the album, they go to your website.
My website, you can get it on iTunes, it's on Amazon, mm-hmm. it's on, probably on Craigslist somewhere, if anybody has a look, it's on everywhere, you can get it, yeah.
Give us your website address.
KeithHarkin.com.
KeithHarkin.com. Facebook.
Facebook, Keith Harkin. Instagram. I love Instagram, so if people only follow me there, I put up random stuff all day, every day. But yeah, follow all my stuff. I post videos all the time online, live videos, and I do live chats on Instagram a lot, too.
Mm-hmm. It must be a lot of fun touring the world. I mean, you're truly an international artist. You live in London. You're on tour in the U.S. You're from Ireland. Do you have a favorite place or favorite places that you like to go, that you look forward to more than others, perhaps?
I love Ireland. Mm-hmm. I genuinely do. Home's home, you know, mm-hmm. and I grew up traveling the West Coast and surfing, and I still love doing it, you know.
To go back home and perform, right?
Yeah, I love it. You know, it's just, that's where I'm from, and that's what I love. But I've been living in LA for 6 years now.
Oh, LA. I thought you lived in London.
I did live in London, too. Oh. I lived there
Wow,
as well.
All over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I read you were called a gypsy.
Yeah,
said.
Yeah. I suppose I kind of am. I definitely have gypsy soul or gypsy blood. I love traveling. Like, as soon as this tour is over, I go to Australia for 4 weeks.
Wow. They love you in Australia. You know, huge.
Yeah, Australia, we're doing pretty good, too. Mm-hmm. So I'm going there for 4 weeks, going to Byron Blues Fest. And then after that, I'm in LA for a month writing, Nashville for 2 weeks, Ireland for a month, then on tour until Christmas.
Wow. And every place you go, every city you've described has a different vibe and a different speed.
Yeah.
So you kind of got to adjust and readjust to where you are.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Keith, for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
It's always great to see you. Come back and see us again.
I will. Tonight.
Just put your pinky rings up to the moon. Ooh.
Well, I want to thank Keith Harkin for coming on the show. Thank you so much for joining us. That song we just heard was a request from Tilahund Chasa, who's in Ethiopia, and it's his first request ever. Bruno Mars here on Border Crossing. So thank you very much, Tilahund Chasa from Addis Ababa, for making that Bruno Mars request here on Border Crossings. My name is Larry London, and we've got requests and dedications to play for you for the rest of the hour. And we've got one right now for Kwajo Kwarteng Seth, who tunes in to Border Crossings in Ghana on 98.1 FM. This is another song from Ed Sheeran's new album, Divide. This is not Shape of You. This song is called Castle on the Hill, and it is from Seth Kwajo Kwarteng for his brother Richard. Let's check it out.
When I was 6 years old, I broke my leg. And I was running from my brother and his friends. And tasted the sweet perfume of the mountain grass I rolled down. I was younger then. Take me back to when I found my heart. Broke it here, made friends and lost them through the years. And I've not seen the boring fields in so long. I know I've grown, but I can't wait to go home. Old and smoking and rolled cigarettes, running from the law through the backfields and getting drunk with my friends. Had my first kiss on a Friday night. I don't reckon that I did it right, but I was younger then. Take me back to when we found weekend jobs, when we got paid, we'd buy cheap spirits and drink them straight. Me and my friends have not thrown up in so long. Oh, how we've grown, but I can't wait to go home. Sell clothes, one works down by the coast. One had two kids but lives alone. One's brother overdosed. One's already on his second wife. One's just barely getting by. But these people raised me and I can't wait to go home. And I'm on my still remember these old country lanes when we did not know the answers. And I miss the way you make me feel. It's real.
Border Crossings with Larry London on VOA 1.
Of gold, the certainty of growing old, that right is right and left is wrong, that north and south can't get along, that east is east and west is west, and being first is always best. But I believe in love. I believe in babies. I believe in mom and congregate. I like to think of God as love. He's down below, he's up above. He's watching people everywhere. He knows who does and doesn't care. And I'm an ordinary man. Sometimes I wonder who I am, but I believe in love. I believe in music. I believe in magic, and I believe in you. I know with all my certainty, what's going on with you and me is a good thing. It's true. Is as common as it used to be in working days and sleeping nights, that black is black and white is white, that Superman and Robin Hood are still alive in Hollywood, that gasoline's in short supply, the rising cost of getting by. But I believe in love. I believe in old folks. I believe in children. I believe in you. I believe in love. I believe in babies. I believe in mom and and I believe in you.
That's Don Williams and a classic country hit called I Believe in You. Because we believe in John Negg, and he believes in border crossings. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. I'm Larry London. Don't forget about our Facebook page now. Go to Facebook.com/VOA Larry London and check us out on Facebook. Thank you, everyone, for posting messages and checking out all the videos I've been putting up there at Facebook.com/VOA Larry London. Got a time for a couple more songs, so hang around. Here's one for Awalu, England geographer. It's Beyonce. She's having a tough pregnancy. She's carrying twins. Jay-Z said she's enrolled in a spinning class to help her out a little bit, deal with the morning sickness and all the other things that are going on, carrying two babies. It's Beyonce and Get Me Bodied for Awalu, England geographer on Border Crossings.
9 4 8 One. B-Day.
Hey, 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 roll. Drop a couple hundred, tell them leave it at the door. Hurry through with me tonight. A little sweat ain't never hurt nobody. Why I'm standing on the wall? I'm the one tonight. Get somebody, get somebody, get somebody, get somebody, get somebody. Want your body, won't you get your body? You want your body, won't you get your body?
And I want to thank Keith Harkin again for coming on the show, and I thank you for listening. Don't forget, you can keep emailing Border Crossings requests to bordercrossings@voa.gov. You can leave them on our Facebook page, facebook.com/VOA Larry London. Thanks to Wagner, our engineer, Vince, our director, and to Nick, our producer today. Thank you very much for listening to Border Crossings. I'll see you tomorrow. I'm Larry London on the VOA One Music Network.